It's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds. Iran's new president, Hassan Rouhani, addressed the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday. Although he and President Obama did not shake hands, the two leaders expressed their desire to open a dialogue. Iran wants harsh economic sanctions lifted to help restore its economy. For their part, the U.S. and other Western nations want to contain Iran's nuclear program. Former CIA analyst and current Middle East expert at the Brookings Institution, Kenneth Pollack, calls President Rouhani the real deal. He says that Western leaders should take his overtures seriously. Kenneth Pollack sat down with KUOW's Marcy Silman yesterday to talk about what happened with the Iran's president's speech this week at the UN.
I think for most Americans and for most of the world, President Rouhani's speech was probably a bit anticlimactic, given the really dramatic things that he had said over the previous few weeks, given the remarkable things that the Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, had said. Rouhani's speech at the UN was a bit more Iranian boilerplate, and I think it was very much directed at his audience back home. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that Rouhani is also playing to two audiences, just as President Obama is.
You called Rouhani in an article, I believe in the New Republic, the real deal. And I wondered what you meant by that.
Yeah, I think what we've seen of Hassan Rouhani over the 20 years or so that he's been a major player in Iran, this is a guy who very much does want to change the direction that Iran is moving in. I don't think that we know whether he's actually ready to get rid of the Islamic Republic, but he seems to understand that the Iranian people want a different kind of government, one that treats them differently, one that provides for them better, and one that does not make them pariahs in the world. And I think that what he's trying to do represents those real changes that he's trying to bring about.
Well, you mentioned that he was speaking to his audience at home when he was addressing the General Assembly, but it seems that there are a couple of audiences at home, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Iran is one of the most fragmented societies in the world, and we should always keep that in mind. But if we want to kind of make gross generalizations, which I think are nevertheless useful in this case, he's got at least two audiences out there. He's got the vast bulk of the Iranian people who would very much like to see an improvement in relations. They don't want to be pariahs. They want to be on good terms with the U.S., and they want the sanctions lifted. But he's also got a smaller group, but a very influential group of hardliners, both among the people and, most importantly, within the regime. And they are dead set against any deal with the Americans, giving up the nuclear program. They're going to fight him tooth and nail. And he's made very clear that they are a big problem for him, and he's going to need help from the United States to overcome them.
Is that why he did not shake President Obama's hand?
I think so. I mean, we never will know. We may not know for years or decades why that was the case, but I suspect as much.
Well, the other question I had to do, well, I have a lot of questions, but had to do with the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. What exactly is his role? Is it Rouhani's job to please Khamenei, or how does it work?
Yeah, the Supreme Leader is the ultimate decision maker in Iran. And, you know, he's got this very ill-defined role, but it's clear that on any issue he wants to be the decider, he's the decider. And he's someone who, what we've seen over the years, is he's deeply, deeply suspicious of the United States. He just believes that everything bad that happens in Iran is a result of some nefarious American plot. And so Rouhani does have to bring him aboard. He's got to make sure he's comfortable with anything Rouhani produces.
But Ken Pollack, as you mentioned, there was an indication earlier that Khamenei was open to some kind of dialogue with the United States.
Right. I think in some ways this is the most interesting and in some ways perhaps the most important signal we've gotten, Marcy, which is 2 weeks ago, speaking before Iran's Revolutionary Guard, so the hardest of the hardliners, Ayatollah Khamenei called for, loosely translated, heroic flexibility, which is something we've never heard him talk about. And it's one of these kind of incredible Iranian terms. And what he seemed to be saying was, look, we need to explore the possibility of a deal with the Americans. Not sure what they're going to produce, not sure what Rouhani can get, but we ought to at least see what they're offering.
Is this move towards moderation, I'm not sure that's the right word, but is this move toward whatever it is this a direct result of the economic sanctions that are in place?
In part, yes. I mean, it's a response to a whole variety of different things. You know, just the general unhappiness of the Iranian people with so much. But the sanctions were clearly part of that. And I think that the best evidence that the sanctions were an important contributing element was the fact that right out of the gate, Rouhani made getting rid of the sanctions, you know, his biggest priority. And he's now saying, I want this wrapped up in 3 to 6 months. That, you know, there's no way that you can look at that and say that the sanctions weren't a big element of what's going on in Iran.
Well, there's it seems to me sort of two parallel tracks when it comes to our interactions with this country. One is the rhetoric and the enmity and the way that the two nations view each other. The other is what you've written a whole book about, which is the nuclear arsenal, right, or lack of arsenal. And so I wondered, first of all, is there a nuclear arsenal in Iran?
No, there is absolutely no evidence to indicate that the Iranians have a nuclear arsenal. They do have a nuclear program. We know that from the inspectors. They've declared it. And as I write about in the book, it seems pretty clear that this is a program designed to produce nuclear weapons someday. But, you know, they've also, I think, made some very important statements and also taken some important steps over the years to suggest that they're at least amenable to the idea of not actually deploying an arsenal. And that's why I think that a deal is possible with them.
So what, as a United States government or a Western bloc, what is the biggest concern? Is it that they are arming themselves, or is it the role they play geopolitically?
Yeah, it's all of the above. Obviously, at some level, it's always scary when a country gets nuclear weapons. But, you know, look, famously, the U.S. has been very inconsistent in implying nonproliferation doctrine. There are countries like Britain and France that, honestly, we had no problem with, and we actually kind of covertly helped acquire these weapons. And then there have been other countries like Saddam Hussein's Iraq and North Korea we were really frightened of. Iran falls into that latter category because of their problematic geopolitical behavior. They are anti-American. They are anti-status quo. They try as hard as they can to make the problems of the Middle East worse. And I think there are a lot of people, a lot of Americans, very understandably are concerned that if they get nuclear weapons, they'll be encouraged to do that more.
You would not like to see the abolition of the entire nuclear program in Iran. You don't think that's possible. You're talking about a containment and an ongoing inspection of that program so that arming themselves is not what happens with their nuclear capabilities.
I'd love to see the Iranian nuclear program abolished completely. That would be the best of all things. I just don't think it's realistic. And what we've already heard from Rouhani and Khamenei is continuing to make that clear. They keep saying, we want a deal, but you Americans need to understand, we're not going to give up the whole program. We're not going to give up our right to enrich, and we want to have some ability to enrich.
What does the U.S. really need to do to take advantage of, I'm not sure it's a fig leaf, but right, whatever it is, yeah, the extended hand?
Clearly, the United States is going to have to demonstrate to the Iranians that we are serious when we're negotiating as well. We really will lift the sanctions. We're really not trying to overthrow their government. We really are willing to have a better relationship with them, which we should remember the Iranians are deeply suspicious of. And what's been fascinating is you've had Rouhani on a number of occasions say, you Americans need to understand, I don't have all the time in the world. And if you don't start showing that you're serious about this, my hardliners are going to cut me off at the knees, and you're going to lose your best chance to solve this.
How long do we have?
Well, this is a great question. You know, Rouhani said, I want to wrap this deal up in 3 to 6 months, which, yeah, that given the history of American-Iranian animosity, I don't see how that's possible. What I'm hoping is that this is Rouhani saying, all right, I need it in 3 to 6 months, knowing that the reality will be more like 12 to 18 months.
And how much unanimity on this is there in the Obama White House?
I think that there is a strong desire to take advantage of this, but what's unclear is how much political courage there is. This is going to be a very tough sell. We've already heard Prime Minister Netanyahu voice all kinds of reservations about this. Our Arab allies are more quiet about it, but they have the same concerns. And I think that the Congress is going to reflect the concerns of our allies.
So it's not just Israel that is worried about a nuclear Iran. It's all the other countries.
Absolutely. In some ways, the Arabs may be even more concerned. You know, the Israelis have their own strategic and military capabilities that they can fall back on. The Arabs are a lot closer to Iran. They typically feel more threatened by Iran than the Israelis do. So there are a lot of different countries out there who are concerned about it.
It strikes me as an interesting dilemma for Barack Obama, a man who, you know, won a Nobel Peace Prize before he took office and then has tried to build a reputation as being a peacemaker while conducting a million wars and talking about starting another one. You know, I don't, how does he win at all on this one?
I think the only way that he wins, but I think it's the best way of all, is that he's going to have to demonstrate that political courage. He is going to have to go in and negotiate with Rouhani in good faith. If Rouhani is willing to put a real deal on the table, I think we should do the same. And then he's going to need to go and sell it. And he's going to need to say to the American people and the American Congress and our allies, this is a good deal. It may not be perfect, but it is good enough. And if we hold out for perfect, we're not going to get anything. And we may find ourselves in another war.
Well, you also say it would be good maybe not to get rid of the sanctions, but to sort of suspend the economic sanctions on an ad hoc yearly basis. So I don't know how.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to see what the Iranians actually put on offer. But so far, what we're hearing from them sounds completely reasonable to me. I mean, I think it's actually quite a good deal if we can deliver. But as you're already pointing out, the devil is ultimately going to be in the details. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of Americans who, again, I think for very good reasons, are going to be skeptical of this. They're going to be afraid the Iranians are going to cheat. Frankly, exactly the way the North Koreans did, the way that Saddam Hussein did for many years. And they're going to want some guarantee that the Iranians aren't cheating. And what we learned from the Iraq experience, very late in the day, much to our chagrin, was that the sanctions can actually work when you have the threat of sanctions behind them. And that's why my preference would be not to lift the sanctions entirely, but to suspend them so they could be brought back if we find the Iranians are cheating.
A last area I wanted to touch on while I have you here. We got another problem in the Middle East right now. It's Syria. Iran and Syria are two allies. So how does Iran fit into our working towards some sort of peaceful detente in Syria?
Yeah. Certainly, it's going to be impossible to exclude Iran from that. But I would argue that we should try to keep these two things as separate as we can. We've got a problem with Iran and its nuclear program. Rouhani has come forward offering a deal. We ought to explore that. If we can do that, it will make everything easier. We've also got this issue with Syria, where the Iranians are very much on the wrong side. I think the best way to handle Syria is to handle Syria on its own terms, to deal with the problem of Syria as a civil war, to back the opposition as best we can to try to give them some momentum, hopefully change the dynamics on the battlefield, which can then produce the possibility of peace negotiations.
Do we want Iran present at the peace talks on Syria?
I think it will very much depend on the circumstances, but it may be necessary and it may even be useful to have the Iranians there, especially if it follows a resolution of the nuclear issue. Iran may be in a very different place at that point.
That's Middle East expert and former CIA intelligence analyst Kenneth Pollack. His latest book is Unthinkable, Iran, the Bomb, and American Strategy. You can find the interview and more about him at our website, KUOW.org. President Obama is speaking at this hour on the subject of Iran. The USA Today is reporting that he says he spoke with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani by phone. This would be the first top-level U.S.-Iranian contact in more than three decades. Obama said that the two leaders discussed the standoff over Iran's nuclear program and said, "I believe we can reach a compromise solution." This is The Record.